Today on Real Radio.
These things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. The word know is oidos in the Greek, and it means that you are perceiving and recognizing and enjoying the fact that you're saved. Now, some denominations have told you you can't know that, and that is absolutely against the Bible. And though you may love your church where you've come from, you've been told wrong. It's not theologically correct.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in a mini-series that looks at one of the most precious passages in all of Scripture, at least to believers, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If you have a difficult time accepting the grace of the Almighty, this mini-series is for you. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And Jesus spoke this parable, verse 9, who trusted in themselves. He speaks it to those who trust in themselves. That's us, so many of us. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was an IRS agent. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Listen, this is how the law talks, by the way. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as even raise his eyes up into heaven, but beat on his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, but the other did not. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That story, that parable is about the grace of God. Some of us fit into that category, one or the other. We are either like that tax collector and we beat on our chest and say, my God, forgive me. Or we think, you know what? God's pretty good, pretty well off. He's doing fine to have me on board. Can you imagine? Yep, heaven's going to be a good place there when I get up there. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to be so happy to see me. Jesus says to those kind of people, I never knew you. Depart from me, man. Well, we did all these great miracles. Well, I never knew you. Man, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Final example of God's grace. Great example. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning. Now listen carefully. And hired laborers for his vineyard. So 5:30 in the morning, he hires all these guys. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent the men out into the vineyard. So he goes, listen, I'll pay you a denarius if you work all day today. Great, thanks, we'll do it. They go out and they work. Watch what happens. And he went out about, and about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. That's just like Abraham in the valley of idleness and of fatness, of flabbiness. Standing in the marketplace, they were idle, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. And again, the master of the field went out in the sixth hour, and then in the ninth hour, and did likewise. He's hiring people along the way as the day goes by. Obviously, he looks at the field, and he's going, man, you know, the sun's going down. They're not going to make it, so I'm going to hire some other guys to speed up the process. And so they're all out there working. And it says that about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning from the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more because they worked all day. And they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. And they said, these last men have worked only an hour, and you made them equal to pay that what we've received. But he answered and said to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to work for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last, or I wish to give to the last man the same as I have given to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish to do with the things that I have? Or is your eye evil? Isn't that interesting? You worked all day. Didn't you agree to get a denarius? Yes, I did. This guy worked an hour and he got the same pay, a denarius. What's your problem? Did you agree to work all day for me for this price? Yes. But he's got same amount of money and he did none of the work hardly at all. So what are you looking at him for? People can't handle grace. You're too good to him. He should get less. I should get more. That's that works mentality. God's grace gives. You and I know people. If we were God. Now, I can't believe you're blessing him, God. The guy's a crook. And then you start thinking, if I did that, you would shoot me on the spot, God. You ever had that thought? Isn't it? Oh, you did. I didn't think I'd see that many reactions, especially this group over here. I can't believe this. You're so good to them. And I've been guilty of that. It's a weird thing. It's a corrupt thing. God, I've been a good boy all week. Please bless Sunday. I've studied so hard. I know guys, I know pastors who have been golfing today. So will you really bless this one? Because I've been here all day. Been here all week. Then you fall flat on your face. Come out there and you just open and it's like, you know, it's like for me on this side, it's often like licking granite. You know. It's not too filling. God, how can you not bless this thing? I've worked. And God just goes, I'm sick of hearing about I. He loves to show us grace. It's just the way that he is. Listen, people, we are saved by God's grace and that alone. We are not saved by works, by being good enough. Listen, hang on to your seats. This is theologically correct, but rarely ever heard. You are not even saved by faith. Doesn't that sound strange? I thought we were. No, you're not. If you were saved by faith, then salvation would be of you. No, I thought faith was a gift of God. The Bible implies that faith is a gift of God, but nowhere in the Bible does it say that faith is a gift of God. And you might say, yeah, it does right here in Ephesians 8 and 9. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And where it says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. In the Greek, it is not faith is a gift of God. It is salvation is a gift of God. And you lose it in the English language. There is no salvation coming to you and I except by the sovereign grace of God only. Our faith does not save us. And you're hearing a lot of trash on radio and TV that your faith can save you. Well, Jack, didn't Jesus say your faith has saved you to the people and to the women and to the men in the Gospels? If you read it carefully, their faith brought them to the object of their faith, which was Jesus Christ. They came. Their faith was only a vehicle. It is not the mode that saves them. It says right here, for by grace you have been saved. People, get this now, and we'll get into it heavily next week. Bring your friends. Ask them to take a furlough from maybe their other church or whatever. Especially if it's legalistic, come just next weekend. We're going to cover this thing about how saved we are. And listen, it says in your Bible that you have been saved. Now, what do you think that means? For by grace you have been saved. Are you tonight saying, I hope I get saved. I hope I'm saved in the end. What if somebody breaks into your house or into your place and they've got a bazooka and they're going to hold you hostage? What do you think? Man, I hope I'm saved. How do I say this without hurting somebody? If you're hoping that you're saved, you're probably not. Was that subtle enough? Oh, I hope. What does the Bible say right here? For by grace you have been saved. Listen, you don't hope for salvation. You have it or you don't have it. These things were written, 1 John 5. These things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. The word know is oidos in the Greek, and it means that you are perceiving and recognizing and enjoying the fact that you're saved. Now, some denominations have told you you can't know that. And that is absolutely against the Bible. Absolutely against Scripture. And though you may love your church where you've come from, you've been told wrong. It's not theologically correct. You have been saved by God's grace. The vehicle that drives you there is faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's the implication, or that's what's implied concerning God's giving it to you. Faith is not a gift, but it is given, if that makes any sense. Faith is not a gift, but it is given by God. How does it happen? When you are listening and you hear the Word of God and you respond to that, though you can't take any credit for it because God is the master engineer of it, your faith takes you and drops you off right in front of this house called grace. It's an amazing thing. God's grace. There's nothing that saves us outside of the grace of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to this. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Isn't that great? Boop, boop. What's this? Doors open up. What's this? It's grace. And they just pour it all over you. Grace. Listen to Peter's commentary about grace. 1 Peter 1:10. Peter says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Why were they so excited about it? Can you imagine? Imagine putting yourself in Elijah's shoes, Isaiah's shoes, Ezekiel. Man, the Holy Spirit has been coming upon me. I've been prophesying these things. A lot of the prophets didn't even understand what they were saying. And they're prophesying, they're saying, they're talking about the grace that is to come. You read the book of Isaiah, and he's talking about the grace that's coming to the Gentiles. And he's like, man, God's going to save Gentiles. I don't understand this. And Peter says, they've searched the Scriptures to try to figure out this grace that's coming to you. How can it be that God would just save out of the goodness of His heart? Yeah. That's right. It's faith in what the Lord has done for us. People have a hard time with this. Listen to this. It's this grace also. It says that you have been saved. It's this grace that's the power to save us. You have been saved. He has saved us in all eternity. And by the way, eternity, people, is where you're going. Isn't that great? Where is the fact of all this? In heaven, in eternity. We're going there. We're going to meet it. It says that we have been saved some point in history past, but we're going to eternity. We're in route right now. We're at a truck stop. That's what we're doing right now. We're stopped here. Well, we're on our way. We're going to get there soon. And when we get there, we're going to find out what Harry Ironside wrote about. Great old guy, Harry Ironside. By his commentaries, you enjoy him immensely. Ironside says that it's going to be like walking up to a door. The moment we die, we walk up to a door, And it's going to say on that door, all whosoever will, written across the top. Wow. All so whoever will come in. And he opens the door and he walks in and there's this great party and Noah's there and Jeremiah's there and they're all there and Daniel playing with the lions and everything is just great. And he's going, man, look at this. And he's going to shut the door and look over the door, and over the top of the door it's going to say, called, saved before the foundations of the world were ever laid. You open the door, you walk in, you find out they were waiting for you all along. You walk down, there's a table and it's got your name on the table. How'd you know, God?
I knew.
When did you know? Forever. So really, I'm kind of like just coming in on this thing, but it's been done for the whole time. That's right. Boy, if I would have known that, I would have been much more faithful and down on earth than I would have been. I wouldn't have to eat Melanta all my life. And I could have eaten Mexican food instead of worrying. You know, my stomach was so nervous all the time. And I used to, you know, think about, am I really going to be saved? And the whole thing is, it was done. That's right. Oh, man. Imagine how we're going to feel. I would have been bold. Yeah, I know you. Well, I was trying to get you to be bold, but you. I would have been so sure. I wrote my book. It's like, you know, 2.5 inches thick. I wrote this thing trying to tell you. You wouldn't believe a word I was telling you in there. Oh, man. Isn't that something? It's all done. So, listen. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? We'll end with this. Pick it up next week. You came in here tonight, not one of you, safe to say, came in here and said, I hope that chair holds me up. Looks like it could, but I'm not sure. Kind of put your foot on it and the usher knocks your foot off of it. And get your foot off of it. Sit on it. It's either sit down or get out. What are you doing? I'm just checking this thing out. You didn't do that. You came in here and you're looking around and you sat down. You never thought about it. Why? You put your faith in the chair. Listen, are you sitting on faith right now? No, you're sitting on the chair. The chair saved you from hitting the ground. You put faith in the chair to hold you up. Jesus is that chair. You come to Him and you sit on His lap. You don't hit the floor because Jesus is that chair. Did your faith save you? No. The chair saved you. You picked up all of you and put it in the chair. But it's the chair that kept you from hitting the ground. Harry Houdini put a string across Niagara. A string. I'm sure it was more than a string. And Houdini walks across and walks back. People are going insanely nuts. Oh my, you're so great! You are so great! This is the guy that was so great that when he died, he says, when I die, bury me and put a telephone in my coffin, because I'll call you when I get to the other side. They buried him with a telephone. No, people are still waiting for that call. He didn't have enough money for the long distance. He was a strange guy. But anyway, the thing is, he gets a wheelbarrow. Goes across Niagara with a wheelbarrow. Pushes a wheelbarrow across. People are going nuts! How many of you think I can do that again? Oh, the people are going crazy. Yeah, of course you can. You're the great Houdini. He goes, great, to this one guy. Get in the wheelbarrow. No way. I thought you said I could do this again. I did. Well, get in the wheelbarrow. I'm not getting in that wheelbarrow. The guy would not get in the wheelbarrow. He believed Houdini existed. He was standing right in front of him. He had faith, but he wouldn't put his faith in Houdini's ability to get him across Niagara, even though it had been proven earlier that he could make it across. We can say we have faith in God, but if we are still trying to be good enough and add to what God has done for us, we're not riding in His wheelbarrow. We're not with Him. We're working. And we're missing it. That's why grace changes everything. Grace allows us to start all over again, no matter what kind of life you've had. Grace takes everything back to zero. Well, I've only sinned a little bit. I've sinned a lot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I've worked all day. You give me a denarius. He's worked an hour and you paid him the same way. It doesn't matter. God's gracious. Our responsibility is to do what that prodigal son did, and that is to repent. That is to stop living where you're at and run home. All the work part of it's God has done. And here's the beautiful thing, and next week we'll dive into this. You are saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's all in the past tense. And just on verse 8 alone is assurance and the doctrine and the safe teaching that if you have been saved and your works had nothing to do with it, then you shall be saved. And any works or any bad works cannot affect it at all. And churches will not talk about this because the pastors cringe, because what is true of the Scripture is if works didn't get you your salvation, bad works cannot undo your salvation. If you can't get your salvation by good works, then you can't lose it by bad works. It has nothing to do with works at all. And you mention that into a congregation, pastors don't want you to say things like that, or churches don't want pastors to say things like that, because you know what people will do in a carnally minded church is, where grace abounds, sin must be available to us. So let's go out and sin. And a Christian can't even think like that. What it does do, though, for you is totally liberate you to live after the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, in verses 8 and 9. We'll continue with more of this mini-series on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, our goal here at Real Radio is to equip you as a believer with greater scriptural understanding. And that's why we're making available Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's an in-depth examination of history's most influential figure. The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.